You are listening to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the best place for movie topics and blockbuster discussions. Welcome to Movie Cheer Town.
Now, everyone, it's time to spread a bit of movie cheer.
Welcome to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the show for movie fans. I am your host AP, aka Mr. Movie Cheer, and on this episode of the Movie Cheer Pod, I will be discussing what if movie sequels I'd like to see. What do I mean by that? I mean, what if, say, a certain character didn't die in a certain movie, or this certain movie wasn't made at a certain point in time. I'm going to be looking at what if style. You know, like what is it, the Marvel What If series, like in what if scenarios. So we're going to be looking today at what if movie sequels that I would like to see. I'm looking forward to this. I love these sort of topics where you just go into random movie sequel or just movie topics in general. So that's going to be today's headline topic, ladies and gents. First show back in a while as well, so I'm a bit rusty today, I think. I'm probably going to have to ease into things, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad to have you all along on the journey of this episode with me as well. It's going to be awesome. Awesome headline topic. But before we get to today's headline topic, we're going to start off with a segment called What's Been on the Screen.
Ooh, what's been on the screen?
What's been on the screen? What have I been watching over the past week or so? I've actually had a week off last week or the week prior from the day job at the Movie Cheer Town Cinema. And I thought, put my feet up and watch something. Do you know what I've wanted to do for quite some time, which I've not really done in a while? Do you know what? I think I've never done this. Before I get any further on, just binge watching a show for a whole week, watching it from start to finish, a whole TV show. And I have not done that in years. Just like binge watched in a week. Do you know, I binge watch like comedies and stuff over time, but like that's over months. But not for a while where I've just like, you know, I thought, you know, I said I've got a week off. I'm just going to really just sit down, chill, not really do much. Just watch a TV show. So I was looking around for a TV show to watch, and I found Peaky Blinders, the UK show. So there will be some spoilers ahead for Peaky Blinders. If you never watched the show, I'm going to go into details of it, the ending, the show in general. So if you never watched the show, maybe skip ahead this segment to another segment, because I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But yeah, Peaky Blinders, it ran for like 10 years. I think it was like 2013 to... Or 9 years to 2022, so it finished last year. And I picked this show, and I've heard so many good things about it for ages. And to be honest, I honestly didn't know what it was about, really. I kind of had an inkling it was like gangsters and stuff like that. So it's a UK-based show in Birmingham. I'm not even going to do a Birmingham. I can't do a Birmingham accent. I can't do a Brummie accent. But it is. It stars Cillian Murphy, or is it Cillian Murphy? You'd pronounce his name. Who's in the Oppenheimer movie now, the new Christopher Nolan movie. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. I think it's Oppenheimer. And yeah, Peaky Blinders, it is a show that I've just keep on hearing things about. But I feel like it's a show, I'm glad I watched it in my own time. Kind of like Stranger Things, because I remember watching the first season when it came out, Stranger Things, and couldn't really get into it, and then years later, I thought, let's get into it again. I really enjoyed it. And this is a show where I've just watched it in my own time, didn't know anything going into it really, and didn't know any spoilers, and it was really good to watch. So it's 6 seasons, I think it was produced by the BBC, and each episode's like a hour-long episode, so they're really, you know, the long episodes, the very last episode is like an hour and a half. It's like a more of a feature-length finale episode, and, you know, let's talk about this. So it tells the story of the Shelby family who are in Birmingham, and it's set over like almost like 20, 30 years, the whole series. And it's this this family who are obviously the gangsters. They call themselves the Peaky Blinders in Birmingham. And they run a bookies, like an illegal bookies, and then they want to go legit with the bookies. And by the end of that first season, I think it is, or the second season, they like have a legit bookies license. And then you see them like gradually taking over different parts of the UK, through like the gangster sort of ruling and taking over different parts of like different, I suppose, locations, like different race courses and stuff like that. And you know, trade routes and all this thing. And then you see the main character played by Cillian Murphy, who goes from being like this head of this family, the Shelby family, very stoic-like character, moves forward like throughout this show, interestingly, to becoming like a legit businessman and a politician. And you see this gradually over these six seasons. So he goes from being the head of this gangster family, still at the end of the show, you know, they're still doing unsavory acts. They're still the Peaky Blinders, but he kind of isn't as involved in the family business with all like the sort of the dodgy dealings. He's more of, you know, he's the spokesperson, the public face, the like political figure. And it's really a really interesting story. And I think it's all fictional, but maybe it was based on certain events and stuff. But as far as I know, the majority of it is fictionalized, all this story of the Peaky Blinders. I was watching it. I was in a museum, actually, funny enough, I was watching the show. And, you know, it's set in like 1909, I think, when it first starts. So it's, you know, 100 years ago. And I must say, the backdrops, the locations, the way they've done them, obviously, with digital effects and probably some practical effects as well on locations, they look absolutely stunning, absolutely stunning. Especially the first couple of seasons. I think the first couple of seasons really should get like a, you know, a big round of applause for the locations. They look fantastic. But I was watching the first season and I thought to myself, this kind of looks like Liverpool. I'm pretty sure this has got to be Liverpool. And this is like the very opening scene apparently was shot in Liverpool. And I think a lot of the stuff is, you know, Liverpool is used for a lot of movies, a lot of big movies, big budget Hollywood movies, like the Batman that was filmed in Liverpool in some parts, and like Captain America. But you can kind of just get a feel of it if you know Liverpool, if you're from this kind of area. Movie Cheer Town is not too far from Liverpool, so I visit there quite regularly. So going to Liverpool, seeing the architecture, you notice it on film. And I went to the Liverpool Liverpool, I think it's called the City of Liverpool Museum. It's on the Albert Docks the other week. And in there, it's great. You know, it's got all the history of the city, you know, like sports, the history of like transport, the trade, you know, all different history, you know, World War II, everything to do with Liverpool. It's in there, the music, obviously, video games as well. That was really cool. But they have a really nice little movie section in there as well, where it shows all the films that were filmed in Liverpool. You have like the likes of, was it Dancing Through the Dark, Shirley Valentine, all these different ones about Captain America. But they had also a TV section where it showed that scene, that first scene, and it said like a lot of the show was filmed with the backdrops of Liverpool as well. And yeah, really noticeable. But yeah, the locations are superb. I really like this story though of this guy, Thomas Shelby. And to me, I think, you know, for a good show, you need that good headline character. Breaking Bad had it with obviously Walter White, where his arc was, it kind of very much, it feels like a very similar type of arc to Breaking Bad, but kind of like reverse roles. Because it feels like with this one, you've got Thomas Shelby, who is, you know, he's from a gypsy family, and he wants, you know, very from like a poor family. He was in World War One. He volunteered, and he had like some really bad tragic events with his brothers in the war. Comes back, and then, you know, they start this Peaky Blinders. They become gangsters. They then start up this illegal bookies, and then they want to, you know, keep on growing their empire. But it reminds me of Breaking Bad, the reverse, because you see Thomas Shelby, you know, he's the smart one of the family. He also, he wants to be legit, and he kind of wants to get away from all this. So he goes from like this, like from this sort of like evil point in the story, the very start of the show, to the end point where he, you know, he kind of does get away from it all. But there's a lot of, you know, tragic events throughout the show, you know, the loss of family members, loss of his wife, you know, it's pretty tragic. I mean, I honestly, I was thinking whilst watching it back, well, thinking about it, and the amount of funeral scenes in that show, how many family funeral scenes can there be? There's absolutely tons of them. But yeah, really good. I will say, I don't really know what the critical reception of this is of the final season. So I know it's like a, I think it's like a beloved show, but I don't know what the, I've not looked online. I should have actually had a look and just seen what like the general consensus is for that final season of Peaky Blinders, whether people enjoyed it, whether it's like, you know, people thought it was a worthy ending for this show. I will say, it felt, first of all, 2 points. I think the final two seasons, I don't know if they were co-produced with like some sort of US production company, but I'm pretty sure it was, there's some sort of change, because it felt a bit different. They felt, the last season in particular, but I think the last two seasons, I think it was, they felt a bit more cinematic. Like they went for a slightly different tone, a shift in tone. I think the final season is, I think that the ending is great. I love the ending. Absolutely love the end. So the ending is, he basically thinks he's dying, but then it turns out the doctor was hired by this corrupt politician who wanted him to think he was dying, so he'd end up killing himself. And then he realizes it was all a scam and he's not actually dying. He's not got an illness. And then, you know, he basically, everyone thinks he's going off, and everyone kind of thinks he's just, you know, he's going to obviously kill himself and that's it. And then he basically, it's like a free reign, and he just goes off on his horse, and it kind of a lot of similarities to the very first episode where he's coming in on a horse. And say he was on a black horse on the first episode. On the last episode, he goes off on a white horse, but he just goes off into the distance. And I love that shot of the caravan burning, and it's the the camera's looking through the doorway into the distance of the fields, and you see him just going off on that horse. And that was a great ending. It got me, you know, Last Crusade type vibes from it. I really like that. I thought it was a really good ending. But the last season in general, I just think it was a bit, I think they probably had a lot of struggles, because I imagine a lot of this was filmed during the pandemic. I think as well, they had the loss of the actress. I forget the lady's name, but who played the character of Polly, the aunt in the series. She tragically passed away. So they had to juggle between the pandemic and then probably changing big story elements with such a pivotal character passing away. So I imagine that did, you know, contribute to maybe it feeling a bit disjointed at times that last season, because it does feel, I don't know, I just don't feel like it has much direction that last season for me. It just felt a bit all over the place. And like I said, I like the ending. I think what they did with the ending and the last episode as a whole wasn't amazing, but I liked the actual ending. I think the ending was really good for the character. And it kind of left, you know, very, very open-ended kind of ending, where you can definitely, there was stuff they were setting up with his son coming into it, his son he's just found out about, having a bit of a rivalry with his brother. You could say there's going to be something there, a little rivalry. They brought that, the Scouse, what's the Liverpool at the name? He played Al Capone in Boardwalk Empire. He's in it as well in the last season, and I feel like he could be in it. Is it Graham Stevenson or Stephen Graham? That's it, Stephen Graham, great actor. He's in the last season, and I feel like he could have more of a role if they extended it into a season 7 or maybe a movie. And apparently a movie has been talked about with, and apparently it's been rumoured by the creator, Stephen Knight. So how would I feel about a movie? You know what, I think a movie would be great to see, but at the same time, I think the ending was quite nice. But given the fact that the last season for me wasn't the most spectacular of endings as a whole, the season, even though I like the end scene, I feel like they could do something more. I don't know. It's weird sometimes because it's like with Breaking Bad had the perfect ending, and then they did that spin-off movie El Camino, and I did like El Camino. I think it added a bit more, but it didn't tarnish the legacy of Breaking Bad. I think if they can do it that way and they don't tarnish the legacy, go for a movie spin-off, I'd be happy with it. But overall, I enjoyed Boardwalk Empire. I've not watched all the seasons of that, but that is a show I really likened it to. And I felt like that is like very much the UK version of Boardwalk Empire. I feel like you could have done a team up of them two shows at some point, or some sort of like a crossover episode. That'd be quite good to see. But yeah, I really did enjoy it. I think I can understand the hype over the show. I can understand why people like Peaky Blinders, and now I'm glad I've watched it. And I'm really, you know, I'm glad I just watched it over a week and just binged it and just had a really good time watching it. So yeah, really good show. Cillian Murphy is a, you know, I've watched him over the years in different things, like 28 Days Later, the Batman movies, Inception, a few different movies over the years. And this is, you know, him as a lead actor. He's a fantastic actor. Tom Hardy in the show as well. Tom Hardy plays, I think his character in this show is great. Overall, a really good cast. And yeah, just a overall good show. I really enjoyed it. Let's talk now about a movie I've watched this past week. I watched the movie Hitch, which was a 2005 movie starring Will Smith, Kevin James, and Eva Mendes. It's like a romantic comedy movie. This is a movie I've heard about for years, and I think I remember at the time thinking, oh, this is probably not a movie I'd like. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to watch it this week. I saw a trailer on Netflix for it with Kevin James, Paul Blart, if you know him from the Paul Blart movies. And he's just like doing these stupid dances. It's basically Will Smith's character of Hitch. He's this dating coach. He's like this top dating coach in New York City. And he gets all these like high profile, well, these all these clients who are looking to conquer the dating game. And Paul Blart, Kevin James's character, he wants to like date this like super like well-known woman who's like this multi-billionaire, like, and way out of his league in his opinion. But then he ends up like, you know, coaching him up to get this date. And then he's also bouncing all that with his own love life with, you know, he meets this journalist of Eva Mendes's character, and he's trying to, you know, get together with her. And it's a really funny movie. You know, you've got him kind of like giving advice on dating to all these different guys, and it's all working out. But in reality, his own dating life is kind of a bit of a mess, really. And it's a really fun movie. I do like Will Smith. Like, I mean, Men in Black, around that time, like Men in Black was great. One of my favorite movies of all time. I think there's a lot of movies, though, that I've missed of Will Smith's. You know, I remember watching Hancock at the time. And is it Hancock? The superhero one? And yeah, I remember watching that and not really thinking much of it. I'm going to have to revisit that. But this is one I avoided. And I know there's quite a few movies of his around them, 2005. You know, I've never seen Bad Boys. Never seen Bad Boys. That is a series I'm going to have to check out at some point. But Hitch was a really fun comedy. I think some of the funny moments were with Kevin James's character. With, like I said, he's like, he's doing his dance moves. And he's like doing the most cheesiest of dance moves, and then like Will Smith's just like saying, no, you play it cool, you just do this, you don't move your arms, don't go crazy. And then he goes on the date, and then he's kind of like playing it smooth, and then when the woman turns around, he starts doing all these wild dance moves. It's like he can't resist just doing it, like these outrageous dance moves for a second or two. And there's a scene where Will Smith's character Hitch is teaching him how to lean in for a kiss, and and he's like just leaning, and then Kevin James's character just like goes in for the smooch and smooch, and he's like, no, get away. it's a really funny movie, though. I think it's one I dismiss, but I'm glad I watched it, because there was quite a few moments in that where I laughed out loud. I thought it was a really funny movie, a good watch, just a chill out, nothing too serious, a fun movie, Hitch. Check it out if you're not seeing it. But that's what's been on my screen this past week. Now let's move on to today's headline topic.
The Movie Cheer Podcast presents the headline topic for the episode.
Remember to spread a
head,
bit
head,
of
head,
cheer.
Headline topic. Headline topic.
Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer.
So today's headline topic, what if movie sequels I'd like to see? What do I mean by this? As I said at the start of the show, what if sequels? So say there was a certain sequel that didn't happen, or maybe a sequel happened, but it wasn't particularly the sequel you would have liked to have seen, or, you know, you get this like the Marvel what if show in different, you know, what if this character became like this bad character instead of going the path of good? Just looking at alternative realities, really, of alternative timelines of what sequels, you know, I would have liked to happen, which probably won't happen. Or maybe they could, you know, some of them potentially could, but let's go into it. So, first one, Iron Man 4 with Robert Downey Jr. That is a what if sequel I would like to see, and I don't think we will see it. Well, look, there's a few options here. So, Iron Man 4, why would I want to see it? First of all, I'd want to see it because I really enjoyed the Iron Man movies, but Iron Man 3 for me was a massive disappointment. I mean, I got it in the movie collection behind me, and still to this day, it's become like an ongoing joke on this channel, but I can't stand Iron Man 3. It's an absolutely appalling movie. I remember that feeling of watching it in the cinema and just thinking, this is the worst. And I was so hyped up and so looking forward to seeing it. And it was just, for me, I know people like it, but for me, it was such a disappointment. But Iron Man 4, I would love to see an Iron Man 4 movie that really just either continues and gives us a new trilogy or gives us the ending that I wanted to see. Just a perfect ending, you know, like a really solid ending of the Iron Man franchise. Because the first one was solid, absolutely solid. I know the second one has its sort of like negatives and some people don't like that one. I actually don't mind Iron Man 2. I get it, it's not as good as the first one, but it's nowhere near the level of bad that Iron Man 3 delivers. But an Iron Man 4, why can't it happen? First of all, why can't it happen? Because spoilers for Endgame, Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, Tony Stark, sacrifices himself. He dies in that. So in the MCU, in the mainline universe, is it 616, that universe? Is that the main one? His character is dead. So the only way it works is either you go back in time or you do something different, and you could do something different. And when I say Iron Man 4, I want to see it with Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. That's what I want to see. But it would have to be a continuation of what we had before. The only way it could potentially happen is Iron Man 4 as a fresh new take, and it is, well, you could still do it with Robert Downey Jr. with the multiverse idea, where potentially another Tony Stark who looks like Robert Downey Jr. comes over from a different universe and he then stays in this universe. And then you do Iron Man 4 there. Sure, it would be a different character. It'd be a different person. So it'd be obviously it's slightly, you know, his past arc would be different. So you kind of feels like you're forgetting everything, all, you know, the trials and tribulations these characters went through so far, because it is a different person. But you can do it that way, I suppose. The other option is you kind of do it as a fresh reboot with Robbie Downey Jr. in a different universe. You're doing, you know, go into a different universe of the MCU and do a trilogy starting there with that Iron Man character and just go from there. You don't have to do the big origin story then, because you already know the origin story to a degree. Or you kind of like just, you know, play it out. Maybe you can show bits or mention bits. You can do a bit of fresh, I suppose, but that's the way I would go then. You could do it like that. But Iron Man 4 would be definitely a what-if sequel I would have loved to have seen. It is just a shame. You know, I can't say that the ending to Endgame was bad, though, because that ending was perfect. And I think sometimes you do need to sacrifice characters, and that sacrifice in that movie was great, because, I mean, that ending was phenomenal. Such a great movie. Still to this day, really a movie I really enjoy. But it just, you know, it takes away. We're never going to get Iron Man 4 with that incarnation of Tony Stark, which is a shame. Unless, like I said, you do the time travel route, you have some sort of time travel and then you fill in the gap and you have another Iron Man story there. But that just seems a bit pointless. It just doesn't seem, I don't think that would happen. So I think the only way you do it is with the multiverse version. But Iron Man 4, that is one I would like to see. Next one I would like to see is a direct sequel to a movie from 1991, and that is Terminator 2. I would love to see Terminator 3 come out, what, in the early 2000s? And that movie was awful. And we've had some bad sequels. Well, I've admittedly only watched a few of them. The one I really did enjoy was the one with Christian Bale in. That was, I forget what it's called now. I can't, my brain, my Terminator function in my brain is gone. Maybe it'll come to me in a minute. But the one with Christian Bale in, where it was set in the future, he was playing John Connor. That was great. That was a great one. I think that was like Terminator 4, was it? If in the movies. And but Terminator 3, you know, with the amount of recast, I didn't think the recasting was great. I thought the story was boring in Terminator 3. And it was years later. Terminator 2 was such a massive, massive movie. That cast was perfect. With the John Connor character, you know, Kyle Reese, the casting, Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor, Arnold in there as well. Look, I liked the ending to T2, perfect movie for me. But that would have been the time. I think the reason why it is flaked out is because they let it sit on the shelf for too many years, Terminator. I think Terminator now is just thought of this movie, because I know, and everyone else knows, till the end of time, they will continue to make Terminator movies, and every single one of them will be bad. I'm pretty sure every one of them. I'd love for a filmmaker out there to prove me wrong and do something completely different with the Terminator franchise. And I know in the last one that came out, Dark Fate, Linda Hamilton, she returned and they did like the CGI with the young John Connor. So they kind of like featured them. But to have done a direct sequel, what I would have liked to in a what-if universe, I would have loved to have seen a Terminator 2 sequel maybe a year or two after that at the time. So like a 1994, 1995 release of Terminator 3, which featured the whole cast from that last movie and then add in a few more new characters as well and build on the story from that point forward. I think it would have had a much stronger, you know, footing, the franchise as a whole. I think if it had been a trilogy there, that Terminator 1, Terminator 2, Terminator 3, like mid-90s, look, it could have been a flop. It could have been, you know, it could have been a very similar story to what Terminator 3 was. It could have just been a bland story. Maybe it might have not lived up to, I think it would have been hard to live up to Terminator 2. Most sequels do, you know, the second one is usually the best one in most trilogies. But I think if you look at most well-made, well-thought-of trilogies, Back to the Future, The Dark Knight, they've all kind of like, they're all clustered together in a certain period of time. And they work for that reason. I think they work because you've got that continuity of the characters, continuity of the cast. Terminator 1 and 2 are great because you've got that continuity. And then they added stuff in to Terminator 2. Terminator 3, in a what-if universe, if they did that in like 94, 95, could have had that continuation again and really built on that story from Terminator 2. People would have, you know, they remember the characters. And I think it would have been fantastic. I really do. I was thinking about this today because I was thinking about this topic and what I would have liked to have seen. And then I was thinking movies I really enjoy. And I was like, Terminator 2 is a movie I really enjoy. And I'm thinking, man, what if they did that? Yeah, what do you think of that? I think it would have been perfect. I think Terminator would be thought of in a better way. And then years later, then you can do your reboots or your remakes or whatever you want to do with a franchise, but you've still got that solid trilogy of Terminator movies because they're all kind of like scattered, aren't they? You've got Terminator 1 and 2, 3, 4, none of them are then linked. They're all just like kind of like this Terminator universe, but it's like filling the gaps of this here and here. So yeah, that would have been the second one I would have loved to have seen. What else though? What else have we got, ladies and gents? So We now go to Return of the Jedi. Star Wars, Return of the Jedi. Oh, no, you're saying, talking about Star Wars again? I don't care. Marvel, Star Wars, you know I'm going to talk about it on this channel because I love it. But Return of the Jedi, what if we had a sequel after Return of the Jedi? But what if in Return of the Jedi, Vader didn't die? He didn't sacrifice himself. He didn't die. What if Vader didn't die, but Luke did die? Or maybe Luke didn't die and they both, he just kills the Emperor and he continues. Or Darth Vader takes over. There's tons of what if scenarios here. And I'm sure this has been talked about in Reddit subreddits, Star Wars subreddits for years now of like, what if Darth Vader lived? And I've seen videos and stuff, but what if he had lived? I think if they did that right and they had done another Star Wars sequel a few years later with that same cast, or you just, you move forward, maybe you get a few new characters in, but Vader didn't die, but he did turn good. And then we see that transition to him becoming Anakin Skywalker again. He becomes a Jedi Master. Let's say Luke Skywalker doesn't pass away, and then him and his father then go on the quest to doing different, Jedi events. But what I would have loved to have seen, though, is either he continues to wear the Darth Vader suit, because I think you have to keep the suit, because it's such an iconic look. I love it. And the voice, everything. Him becoming like a Jedi version of Darth Vader. You make a few changes to it. So you've got the same helmet. Maybe the colours change. Maybe it goes like more to like a brown, or maybe, I was going to say a white, but it just looked like a stormtrooper. But I think, yeah, keep the helmet. Maybe go for like a brown colour, or keep it black. But then he has like the Jedi robes on, Darth Vader, and he has like a blue lightsaber. And I would love to see that. How cool would that have been? Just to see that. And even now, I was thinking about this mainly because I feel like they could do something like this moving forward, where Vader doesn't die. I think there's potential, because you have this world between worlds they're doing with the Ahsoka show, where you have the elements of time travel in there. This could happen. This could happen. You've got Hayden Christensen coming back. You could get some version of Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker, coming into a future storyline, or he lives past that point of where he died in Return of the Jedi. And I do think it is possible. So this, to me, is like, it's a what if, but this is probably the one. Even, I think this could even become more of a possibility than Robert Downey Jr. return as Iron Man. I think this is more of a possibility. Having him in, especially with they're doing this Mandoverse movie, aren't they, with, all the Mandalorian characters, Ahsoka, and they're doing it against Thrawn. But what if you have that element of Vader in that show, in that movie spinoff, which is coming out a few years later? What if they had like some, how massive would that be if there was like a time travel element, where they go to the events of Return of the Jedi and he is revived, or he's pulled out before he dies. And then he comes to the future, and then he decides to go good, and he decides to help Ahsoka defeat Thrawn. How massive would that be? And it was like, it was some sort of like, there was a secret battle and no one would talk about it because it's this top secret battle against Thrawn. And no one would ever mention that Vader did return. But he returned to help Luke, to help Ahsoka, and to help Mando. And, oh man, that would be epic. I could honestly see that. And you can imagine the pop in the crowd, in the audience, in the cinema. If that happened, it would be massive. It'd be massive. It'd be amazing. I would absolutely love to see it. So that is one I would like to see in a what if universe. I hope it happens. And I really do think something like that could happen with the Star Wars universe moving forward. Why would you not want to bring back even more an iconic character like Vader? And if there's potential like that, where you can do these what-if crazy scenarios, let's do it. Let's move on to the final what-if movie sequel I would like to see. And the final one is, we go to an alternate version of The Dark Knight Rises. The Dark Knight is another film that I absolutely adore. For the reason, I think a lot of us enjoy it, the Joker, played by Heath Ledger. Now, this is a topic some people won't particularly like, but in a what-if universe, what if, I suppose there's two approaches for this one. In a what-if universe, you know, Heath Ledger didn't tragically pass away, and we had that film, that what-if film of The Dark Knight Rises, but the Joker was included with it. Maybe Bane would have been the main villain, but you had some sort of team-up with the Joker in there. I love that incarnate. My favorite version of the Joker by far. No, I don't think any Joker will ever top that for me. And it would have been great to have seen his Joker in the final movie. I think it would have made that movie a lot better. I never really took to that movie the same way I did with the sequel, with Dark Knight. And it felt like it was missing the Joker. I feel like now we're getting to that point with deepfaking technology, and I think with the way it is getting so much better, I think it is improving from like 10 years ago. Deepfaking technology, if you don't know what it means, it's basically where they're faking the faces, the voices of characters. They did it with Luke Skywalker on the Boba Fett show, which I thought it looked really good. I was really impressed with that. But I suppose now there is room to potentially do that. And you think if maybe technology had been there at that point for The Dark Knight Rises, would they have featured the Joker? Say the family of Heath Ledger agreed to it. Would it have worked? Would it have been bad taste to do it? Because they do it with, you know, they have brought characters back to life like Rogue One. Had Moff Tarkin return, and that was, you know, okayed by his family. And it has happened before, where they have characters like that on screen. Would it be a possibility in the future, in future DC movies, where they bring back Heath Ledger maybe with that deepfaking CGI technology? But yeah, I would have loved to have seen it if it was the actor Heath Ledger playing the Joker. That would have been my first choice, because really, you know, deep down, you know it's not them. It's fake. But I would have loved to have seen a live action Joker in that Dark Knight Rises. That would have been my what if sequel for that one, because I think it would have just added so much to the movie. And I felt like Dark Knight as well ends like it feels like there should be more to the Joker and Batman. There should be some sort of like final conclusion, and I felt like we were kind of like robbed of that. And it was, you know, such a tragic event for him to pass away. And again, the legacy around that movie will forever be Heath Ledger, his great performance as the Joker. But yeah, I would have loved to have seen A Dark Knight Rises with the Joker included in that movie. But they are the what-if movie sequels I would like to have seen. It'd be great to hear what your movies, which ones, some of your choices you would have liked to have seen as well. But that's today's headline topic over and done with. Let's move on with the next segment of today's show.
Case covers take on other case covers. Can you handle it?
Case. Cover. Collision. Case. Cover. Collision.
Case cover collision. Each and every week, I choose a different movie and look at the different case covers for that movie and put them up against each other to find out which one is the best on Case Cover Collision. And this week I will be looking at Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It has a few different, we got HMV exclusive, we got the DVD Blu-ray cover and the 4K cover here. I've actually not got a date for when this comes out. I'm not too sure. I think it's out, so I know it's on, I think it's on Disney Plus now. But yeah, let's just talk about this movie first of all. Guardians of the Galaxy 3. What did I think about it? I thought, oh man, such a perfect ending to a trilogy. And it's, as I said earlier on in the show, the second movie in the trilogy is usually the best. It's kind of switched around on this one, because the third movie is I mean, it's hard to say for me which one's my favourite, the first or the third. The third one is very different from the first, but it is also a great conclusion. And I think they just did it so great on this movie. It's such an emotional story with Rocket's character, especially the rest of the Guardians as well. But I think Rocket's character, Rocket Raccoon, his story arc in this movie is so tragic, and you know, it's a very emotional story. And the way they did it with to make you feel emotionally attached to a CGI raccoon, it's pretty good. You know, pretty good storytelling from James Gunn. So kudos to the cast, the music, the story. I think the villain in this, the higher evolutionary, I thought he was great. Really just a solid villain that they needed. And I feel like it as well. I feel like they didn't really, you know, there wasn't a ton of screen time for this film. But they, in the screen time that villain had, it was great. He did really great. And I think one of the best, definitely up there as one of in the top five of MCU villains, for sure. I really like the kind of like the emotional distress he puts on these, you know, his foes, you know, he's the people he's attacking. Such a well-made villain. I really liked it. But let's have a look at the case covers anyway, ladies and gents. So first of all, we've got the HMV exclusive case cover for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. So this one is kind of like this sort of like spray-on paint effect, like sort of like a graffiti, maybe not graffiti, it looks like a paint bomb effect. So like when you get like festivals where they're throwing paint bombs in the sky, and it looks like that sort of effect. So you've got like this very much loads of different multiple colours. You've got all the characters of the Guardians of the Galaxy on this screen and in the backdrop, and the very, you know, very small, like sort of like photos of each character very much in the distance that feature every character, and they're all surrounded in a circle, the high evolutionary and all the different characters within the movie. And then you see in the background, like you see the space with all the different colors in the background of like this paint bomb effect. And there's like this logo. I think it's that logo, like the Guardians of the Galaxy's logo, I think, is it potentially? But yeah, you got high evolutionary in the middle. It's like the story of him. It's like he thinks he's basically God. And I think this cover is to show that in the movie, he thinks he's God. He's in the center of the universe, and everything that surrounds him, he owns, he controls. And the Guardians are all around him. And you see, you know, it's a really nice looking cover. I like the look of it. I like the fact they've featured all the different characters, and it's good that you see, you know, the variety of characters within the Guardian story. It's there are a lot of characters, but yeah, I like the colors here. I think the colors are great. I think it really suits the vibe of the movie, because I think, you know, it's got like this very like, I think the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise in general, it's got that kind of like 80s vibe to it, very like sort of like poppy, sort of like, you know, colorful vibe to it. And I think they've got like a 70s, 80s vibe here with this cover, with the colours and stuff. You've got a lot of purples in there, yellows, blues. Yeah, and it's nice. You've got the logo of Guardians of the Galaxy at the bottom in a white colour with this sort of like white border going around it as well, which I think is good. Yeah, I like this colour. I think it's great. I think this is the 4K HMV exclusive, this one. Now let's move on to the Blu-ray. So this is the Blu-ray and the DVD case cover for this one. A very different cover, this one. So you've got, this time, it's more of a mid shot of the character. Well, saying that, it's a, you know, a full shot of all the cast. You've got Cosmo Dog, Groot, Raccoon, all the Guardians here, the main Guardians of the Galaxy. High Evolutionary is not featured in this cover. So they're all just kind of looking in the distance here, looking up into space. You've got the space backdrop, but it's kind of like a sunset this time. You've got like an orange space sunset. You've got like a moon to the right. Above them all, they're all just sitting down. Some of them are standing, but above that, you've got the logo again of the Guardians of the Galaxy in that same font, same white text, about the same size as well. I think I like this one a bit more because it's a bit more clearer. The characters are, there's not so much of that paint effect, so you can see the different colors of the characters, and the characters just visually, you can see them a bit better in this one. And I think it just works a bit better just seeing you know, you see the cast of the characters here. I like it a bit more. If you're a Marvel fan, you see them more. And I think it's actually more noticeable in the first cover that you know, notice more of the Guardians of the Galaxy characters. So for me, so far on Case Cover Collision this week, the Blu-ray is winning through. But we have one final case cover to look at, and this is the standard 4K case cover. And let's have a look at this one. So again, very different. I think this one's got kind of a bit more of a grittier look to it. So it's, again, the main cast, the High Evolutionary is not featured again, it's just the main Guardians here. And they're all looking again into the distance, some of them look into the camera, but then it's kind of like a side-on view. They're all like sitting down, but it's like slanted. And then you've got the Guardians of the Galaxy logo a bit bigger this time, and it's not got that little border around it. It looks a bit more bolder and volume free. The volume free is in an orange color, and the Guardians of the Galaxy is in the white text, but again, a lot bigger. And in the background, then you've got kind of looks like loads of different, like, it looks like Milky Ways, you know, like the space sort of Milky Ways, like different bits of space and stuff in the background. But yeah, it's got kind of like a grittier look to it, kind of like an overlay of like a sand sort of look, like a yellowy sort of like grain effect to it. And I do like it because I think for me, it kind of, the emotion of the movie kind of fits a bit more with this cover, because the second one and the first one are a lot more colourful. This movie is far from, like I said, the franchise as a whole is colourful and vibrant, but I think this movie is a very emotional movie. It's still got your cool soundtrack, but the emotion in this movie, I think it is more fitting to this case cover, and I think it's a solid case cover. I really do like this. So for me, the winner of this returning edition of Case Cover Collision today is the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 standard 4K cover. I think it's a great cover. I think it matches the tone of the movie. I think it's a really good looking cover. Is it a game changing cover? No, it's not. It's certainly not a game. I don't think any of them are game changers, these. I don't think any of them are like the best case covers of 2023 by any means, but I think it works for this movie, and I think it's the best of three case covers here, and yeah, I like it. So that is the winner of this week's edition of Case Cover Collision. Now let's move on to the next segment of today's show.
The Amazon Top 10 is approaching. Prepare yourself. 10 9 8 7 6 5 4 3 2 1 The Amazon Top 10 has arrived.
The Amazon Top 10. Each and every week I give you the Amazon Top 10, the best sellers list for DVDs, 4Ks and Blu-rays on Amazon.co.uk. And let's go for it. Let's give you the best sellers list for this week. So at number 10, we have Cutthroat Island, the Steelbook 4K Ultra. That's at number 10. At number 9, we have After Hours, the 4K edition of that by Criterion Collection. UK only release that one as well. So this one, I don't know if there was a US version, but this is the UK only one. At number 8, we have Doctor Who, the Collection, Season 20, Blu-ray, limited edition. I know Doctor Who is dominating the top 10 this week, ladies and gents. I think the 60th anniversary is coming up later on this year of Doctor Who. So this is why there must be a lot of releases and a lot of people just buying, getting into Doctor Who again. At number 7, we have Doctor Who, the Underwater Menace Steelbook. That's another Doctor Who one. I've not heard of that. It must be some sort of special movie or special series. At number 6, we have Freaks, the Unknown, the Mystic, and the Mystic, the Todd Browning's Sideshow Shockers. So it must be a few movies featured on that. I've never heard of any of those personally. At number 5, we have Avatar, The Way of Water, a movie I've still not seen, but I've heard really good things about that. I like the first movie. At number 4, and again, another one I've heard some great things about. A family member watched this just the other day and said it was brilliant. Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves at number 4. And that's just a DVD of that. At number three, we have the Super Mario Brothers movie. And that is the DVD of that. I love that movie. I watched it. Absolutely. One of my favorite movies, 2023. By far, loved it. At number two, we have Babylon 5, The Road Home, Blu-ray. And at number one, shock horror, we have another Doctor Who. We have Doctor Who series 1-4 on Blu-ray, the collection. And that is the Amazon top 10 for this week, ladies and gents. Let's move on to the next segment of today's show, which is the final segment, not so worthy blockbuster housekeeping. This is where I talk about what's going on with the channel and just a general end chit chat for today's episode. So what are we talking about? So this is the first show. If you're a regular to the Movie Cheer Pod, this is the first show I've done in about 2 or 3 months. And I've not really mentioned much online. Personally, I'll just say why I've been away. I've just been working on some sort of like personal development stuff and just working on stuff outside of YouTube, really, if I'm being quite honest. And really just not had the time and the focus to put it into doing the podcast. And I felt like if I did the podcast, it would have been really just 50%. And I didn't want to do that because I feel like I've said this to a few people. I said, personally, just saying to myself as well, just like, I never want to put 50% in. I enjoy this that much that I wouldn't want to just, you know, dial it in, basically. And yeah, things just, you know, life has a way sometimes of, you know, you're working on other things and then you can't put the time in. And like I said, I absolutely love doing the Movie Cheer Pod and I love the community. And it's just been one of those where I've just not had the right mindset to do it and also just not the time to do it as well. And it's been unfortunate, but I always said to myself, I know I was going to come back to doing it. And it's one of those where I'm glad I've got back to it now because I've been missing doing it. And it's kind of one of those where the past few weeks, especially, I've been really kind of like gearing myself up to doing it. And each and every week I get to the end of the week and I'd be like, I've not really watched that much and I just don't feel like pumped to do it. I just don't feel like I'm at like that level to do it. And I think now I'm getting there now. I feel more ready to do more doing the shows again. And I think, I suppose, talk about what the podcast, like, I mean, I've took breaks before and this is probably the longest break I've done since doing it, really. The channel moving forward, and I think like I made a video at the start of the year saying, or earlier on midpoint of the year, saying what the plans are for the rest of the year, and the plans are still kind of the same. But I think I'm always happy, and I think this is always a smart move. Always be ready to shift and always be ready to be fluid with your moves. And you know, I've made plans. You know, I wanted to do more live shows and continue the live shows, and that's still the thing I want to do. But I'm also not going to do stuff to a point where I'm going to, you know, run out of, not have time to do other stuff outside of doing YouTube, because YouTube is for me a really fun hobby, and I don't want to just absolutely, you know, put everything into the YouTube, because I think that's when it goes from, I think you enjoy it less when it becomes like a chore, doesn't it, with anything. So I always want to do it and just enjoy it. And like I said, when I had the energy to do it, like today, it's been great and it's been really enjoyable. When you don't have the energy to do it, it's I don't think it's any fun for anyone. So the plans for the rest of the year, I was going on about, I don't know where I was going with that, to be honest with you. But the plans for the rest of the year, really for the future of the channel, is, yeah, if I ever take breaks again, I'll take a break. But I always want to do the show. I always want to do it weekly. And I kind of limited it to doing one video a week at the start here. I've been taking a break from the Patreon as well, because I just didn't have the energy to do that and the time as well. And I'm going to be getting back to doing that this month as well, Patreon. So that's going to be good. But it's been great getting back to it today. And I realize why I miss this so much, because for me, it's kind of like a bit of a therapy session. I've said this before, but talking to the camera and just unloading about movies is such, for me, just a really like a very relaxing and it's like a meditation, weirdly. It's something about it I really do enjoy, just talking for an hour on camera. And when I do the live shows, they're really fun and interacting with people in the comments. I love doing it. And when I've got the energy to do it and I'm in the right space, I get a lot of joy from doing it. So today, it's been great coming back and the channel will continue. Like I said, I'm not kind of planning live shows at the minute, I'll be honest with you. But there will be maybe like Movie Cheer Fest this year, maybe we're looking at December. If not, we'll plan something. But yeah, I just taking it each week as it comes and enjoying it and not taking it too seriously. I think that sometimes you can get overrun then. And also not being too hard on yourself. And that's, you know, life advice if you're kind of in the same boat as myself where you've had things on and you have to kind of take time away to do certain things and you want to do certain things outside YouTube. YouTube will always be there. So this is someone this week and you can always come back to it. And it's a fun hobby, but you can always come back to it. You've got to put your life comes first and what you do outside. And it's always should come first and you should always be able to go away and come back as well. You've got that option. So just enjoy. But I just want to say big thank you to a few people who reached out to me as well. I just want to say thank you to those people who they've reached out to me. Thank you very much. And people who've continued, the community who've continued to put out comments on the videos, subscribe to the channel. Thank you very much for continuing while I've been away. And it's been, I really do appreciate all of you. Movie Cheer Town is the best. But I just want to read a few quick comments in the Movie Cheer Town community that I haven't actually got to as of yet. So we've got Paul Rose 319 at Paul Rose 319. He said, this is on the Will Go Into the Cinema Become a Thing of the Past video. Paul said, 14 years I last went when I have, when I went last went to the cinema. And he says, there's little point in wasting money the first of, so he's not been in years, basically, Paul. When I have much of, my dyslexia is kicking in now. This is how bad I am with reading. 14 years I last went when I have much of what they have, there's little point in wasting money. So yeah, so he's basically, he's got a lot of the movies in. Why would he go there? The last one he went to see was the new Star Trek films with the young Kirk. So Paul, I love them films. I think they're great films. Great comment from Paul as well. Great movies there as well. And another one on the quick topics on the Gladiator 2 quick topics video, we have at RSGraph281. I think the next big genre is going to be horror. I feel like horror is doing better and better in the box office as superhero films falter. Just look at Megan, small budget with big returns, just like the new Scream movies. I think, you know, spot on again. Yeah, the horror movies are low budgets, are doing really well, and I think they will continue to do well. Great comments from both of those people. Thank you very much for getting involved in the comments as always. But that is it for another show, another episode of the Movie Cheer Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please do give it a like and subscribe to the channel if you're not already. And if you're not subscribed to the app, please subscribe to the app, the podcast app of your choosing if you listen to this as an audio podcast, and leave a 5-star review and send me a link to the review and I will read it out on the show. But it's been a great show. What if movie sequels I would like to have seen? Which what if movie sequels would you have liked to have seen? Give me all your choices, ladies and gents. Give me all of your thoughts on the rest of today's Movie Cheer Pod topics. Thank you for coming along for the return episode today. Really enjoyed it, as always. Thank you very much for watching, ladies and gents. Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer. And as always, I will see you next time.